Yeah, you're damn right. We start now in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. In fact, earlier I was comparing Seth to Bill Walton.
And so he does have a little Bill Walton quality.
So maybe tie-dye shirts.
Hell?
Yeah. It was all good.
Damn it, that's true, though.
It was all good.
It was yeah. Like, yeah, definitely have a quality. Yeah.
Incredibly interesting human being, worldly, really laid back, although when you get him to...
Fried out of my mind.
I've often said that. And then when you get to those spaces, you can go off on folks. Yes. I was cheering you on, Art. Yeah, I'm not going to
exactly.
lie. That was a good time. But yeah... 713-572-4610. Unfortunately, the Astros season is over.
Yeah, the Astros season is over. Now, I think where we need to start
it's over.
Is this
thank
the,
you for that.
Thank
Faye.
You, Mark.
Appreciate you.
He actually seemed kind of happy. No, he didn't.
It's over.
But, you know, you start with the game itself and your takeaways. Now, we were watching it. Speaking of, I've watched the Astros in various places, and we were actually in a meeting. A company-wide meeting, and I had my legs crossed like that, like I always do,
mm-hmm.
and I had the phone right here with the game on.
That's right.
And I'm watching the game throughout the whole meeting. Of course, I was paying attention to all the speakers.
That's right.
I mean, very, very, very closely.
Incredible numbers and graphs and figures. I was
man. I seen
in.
Lopez over there nodding off.
I was watching the game.
This dude was nodding off.
I had my head down. I was watching the game.
That was once his phone had died. That was what happened then. Yeah.
Then my phone died, and so then made the old Irish exit, as it were, so I could watch the rest of the game. But the game itself, I thought, was significant. You know, and I know the morning guys talked about it, the afternoon guys are talked about it, but my as I'm watching the game and it ends the way it did, I realized you can cover up all kinds of flaws and shortcomings. You can make up for all kinds of flaws and shortcomings with various things, but they're always going to be there. Like until the team changes itself, the makeup of the team and how it was put together, even though you overcame them to their credit big time, that's what got them. You know, those flaws and shortcomings that we talked about in May, that they overcame in July and August, that periodically, you know, reared their heads, that's what got them. Like, if you really think about it, timely hitting. Good Lord. I mean...
That was honestly one of the things for me. Like, right, where do you place the most blame? Because, I mean, in these moments, you start... Obviously, it's one of the things about postseason play in any sport is that you are now hyper-focusing. Mm-hmm. Now we are... You know, taking this down to the minutiae, to the iota, looking at things. And so where do you post the most blame? And I was interested. I figured most people would go towards Hader or Presley, who ends up mm-hmm. being a very easy lightning rod. And obviously he deserves it for, mm-hmm. allowing those runners free bases, which is something you never want to do. Espada is obviously going to be a big lightning rod. But for me, as you mentioned, it's the lack of timely hitting, because if there's one thing I associate with the Houston Astros, both over an extended period of time, but particularly with this squad, is at least the top of the lineup hits well.
Yeah.
Right? Like you start with if you are having a promo, right? Mm-hmm. Like if MLB is trying to promote the game, which they probably could do a better job about. But when they do that, like if there was a name that you go, blank and the Houston Astros, who is that name?
Blank and the Houston Astros?
Yes.
Jose Altuve.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another one. Who's the secondary answer?
Alex Bregman.
Who's the third answer if that's the case?
Kyle Tucker.
Who's the fourth answer if that's
Jordan
the case?
Jordan Alvarez.
Any of them really show up with the bats?
No.
In the course? You had three runs in two games.
Yeah, three runs in two games. Like you
right,
know,
like we could talk about mm-hmm. the pitching, but you had three runs in two games. How are you supposed to win baseball games like that?
Thank you. Because you know how, with games in general, I'm a big advocate. Our listeners know that. You know that. Figgy knows this. I'm a big advocate of like kind of absorbing the whole thing that happened and then taking a banner headline, so to speak. I always think that if you start with a banner headline, then you can kind of parse it out from there. The banner headline for me for this series was the Astros lost because of what they were than anything the Tigers did. That to me, that's the big takeaway. They lost this series the way they did more because of what they were than what the Tigers did. Now, the Tigers did great. That's not the takeaway. But they were a team that didn't have the timely hitting. They didn't have the timely hitting. They were a team that when you got into the postseason, you wondered about Kyle Tucker and Framber Valdez. Kyle Tucker was an absolute mess.
0-7.
0-7 in the entire series and bad at bats. Framber Valdez lost his fourth consecutive postseason game. So what the Astros were is what they ended up being in the postseason.
That's a great way of looking at this, especially because I was listening to Scott Van Pelt after mm-hmm. after one of these games, and Tim Kirkjian, who obviously had been on the calls for the games for ESPN or ABC, ESPN, mm-hmm. what have you, that had watched these games, he mentioned when it came to this that AJ Hinch said about his team that, you know, they don't do anything particularly well,
yeah.
but that also makes it difficult on teams to hone in on like a way to play them. And in some ways, I obviously that is a super interesting concept, mm-hmm. the idea that, hey, man, we could turn kind of a jack of all trades, master of none perspective into yeah. something that is some level of benefit, which is that feels counterintuitive
yeah.
when you think about it. But also at the same time, it kind of makes them a mirror.
Yeah.
Right. It kind of yeah. makes them a situation where the way that you play against them is, again, less about what they do, because what do you point to is what they do. And now it becomes about what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And the identity of this baseball team coming in, I imagine, was going to be, you have some solid pitching, starting pitching, mm-hmm. but you're going to have offense that then carries you.
Yeah.
And both of those, well, I can't say both of those things, because Hunter Brown went out. He
was really balling.
He played. He pitched incredibly well.
Yeah, yeah.
He pitched very, very well in the course of this. Like, maybe you say that at the end of his, you know, at the end of his time, he started kind of waning, but you pull him. I don't think
that you got everything you wanted out of him.
And more, in fact.
Yeah, yeah.
And more. So, like, but Fromber is one of those names. It really was the people that you're supposed to depend on
mm-hmm.
for this Astros team that did not come through. And it feels like you're also at a point in time where you have less, you have, it's not as robust of a team to where you can lean on other people. Those tent poles for your team needed to come up big, and they didn't.
Yeah, and I think, you know, my whole concept of what they were versus what the Tigers did, you can even get a little more granular with it. It wasn't just Fromber and Kyle Tucker, who, by the way, is 6 for his last 46 in the postseason.
That's unfortunate.
6 for 46 yeah. In the postseason. But you can get a little more, you know, into the weeds a little bit. This was a team that from the moment they signed Josh Hader, you didn't quite know what to make of it. You know, like, okay, what about Ryan Pressly now? Is that going to affect him? It seemed too early in the season. What about Hader? Is he going to be, is that the right way to spend money when you need, oh, by the way, a first baseman? You know, so you get into the weeds a little bit, and
yeah.
this is what they were. Chaz McCormick in the outfield. I said it before the game
you
yesterday.
Sure did.
Before
yeah.
the game yesterday, I said, I'm a little worried that Joe Spada is going to put Chaz McCormick in there. He's going to face right-handers because he's at the bottom of the order, and it's a bullpen game, and it's going to come back to bite him. Chaz McCormick had some bad at-bats again. Then you want to get even more into the weeds. You know, Joe Espada, he was questioned a lot early, sort of like, okay, he's doing a good job. And then we ended up giving him a ton of credit for the way he kept this team together, and he deserves all that credit.
As did players on this team.
As did players on this team. But he was not A.J. Hinch or Dusty Baker. A.J. Hinch managed circles around him altogether. Now, there were moments where Spada did fine, but altogether. So, like, if you look at what they were, that's why they lost this series.
Yeah, and so mm-hmm. really, really frustrating in that instance. I know that there's folks weighing in on the text line. We appreciate you doing that. And somebody said Kyle Tucker is the MLB's James Harden. Like, that's a really frustrating thing, and it probably...
Ouch.
I don't know that I can fully, like, refute that, though, at this
yeah.
point. Like, he has not come up big, and he's also, like, as he is ascending in relevance and importance to your team, it does kind of... Put a spotlight on the decisions that you're going to have to make with this team going forward, mm-hmm. right? Like, this is frustrating also because of, like, what it feels like you wasted. You know what I mean? Like, I do wonder for you if you're in the same space as me, Lopez, because I was also wondering, there was two questions. Mm-hmm. Where do you place the most blame? But also, what hurts the most about this loss? And for me, it was the idea that you had a crazy recovery from an AL West or to win the AL West, where, like, this team was down horrendous, right?
Yeah.
And obviously you highlight that by saying that they've always had those issues, but they managed to battle back from those issues. And you would imagine that in battling back from those issues, that then you've given yourself an opportunity to, one, know how to at least remedy those to some degree and come out and perform. And I understand this is the tough thing about having a real short wild card mm-hmm. series, is that, you know, anomalies can pop up, but ultimately you needed to be able to find a way to get this done after you rescued yourself from what seemed to be a poor fate early on,
yeah.
only to take all of that effort, all of that playoff type baseball that you felt like you were under that level of pressure for all that time, and throw it away at the end.
Look, if you ask me, this is an interesting question to me, was it a good season for the Astros? I think the answer is absolutely yes. It was a very good season. I wouldn't say great because of how it ended, but it was a very good season from where they started to where they became. But then your question of, you know, where do you place the blame? I mean, I think what makes it interesting is, you know, where do you place the most blame? I think what makes it the most interesting is there's almost no wrong answer on this of the ones that we've been talking about and are the headliners. If I had to pick one person, like one person, which is not fair, but if I had to pick one.
No, it's always more than
it's simply, always more than one. Yeah. I would say Kyle Tucker.
Interesting.
I mean, meat of the lineup. 3 runs in 2 games. If you're going to be the guy and you're going to get paid, I think his contract value is something like $200 and something million, his market value. If you're going to be that guy, you've been in arbitration, you clearly have been frustrated with the... If you're going to be that guy and this transition is going to continue, that was the moment where you had to do it. You had to have come up big, and you didn't come up big. But it wasn't just Kyle Tucker, like I said, but if I had to pick one, it would be him. By the way, 7 years, $200 million is his market value right now. That was a bad way to do it. I think Josh Hader is on the list. I think Ryan Pressly is on the list. I think
it's got to be those two guys are constituting a large amount of the money that you're spending on relief pitching in particular, but also pitching in general, right? Yeah. Hello, Lance McCullers also collecting a good amount of paycheck in that regard. But like those guys, as the dudes who are healthy that are collecting a big paycheck, you expect them to be nails, and those two guys combined for the downfall in that particular game.
Yeah, and then your second question is another very, very interesting one.
Yeah, what
hurts the most?
What hurts the most?
It's not even about the players or the team itself. What hurt me the most is it felt like last call. It felt like they turned on the lights in the club. You got one more shot. You know, you know it's time to go get that last tequila tonic, whatever you're drinking.
Is that what you drink?
No, I'm a vodka guy. You know that. But whatever. A vodka tonic for me.
I was just wondering why that popped up.
Frankly, I am too. But it felt like last call. It just felt that's what hurt the most. It just felt like, I mean, I can't tell you how many texts I could show you. It was a good run. You know, family members, friends. Figgy, did you get any of those? Like, it was a good run. There you go. Here we go. Mm. Last call.
Mm.
Closing time.
Closing time?
Yeah. That's right. What hurt the most.
God, I hate hearing this song.
Me too. Honestly, when you hear this song, you know you got issues, man. You stand till it's time to close.
Yeah. Like it's multiple things. It's not just man, why am I still out here? But then also, why do they keep using this song?
Yes.
Why is this?
They gotta be diamond at this point.
713-572-4610. And we're gonna revisit this later with more detail. But did it feel like last call to you?
Yeah. I mean, because obviously, it ends the ALCS streak. Clearly, you're not going to get back there, which, I mean, I think that ends up being, for me, a little bit more, I don't know, bittersweet. Like, there's kind of a warm tone to that because I can then still appreciate the fact that they did go to all these ALCSs. And, like, that was, a little disappointing. But then the idea that this is the possible end of the Bregman run with this team, you know, like, that could kind of also constitute the end of that tenure, both with Bregman and maybe with like your real opportunities to contend at a big way.
Yeah.
And we'll have, I mean, the next question obviously is like, what do you do going forward? And that is something that we'll have to talk a little bit more extensively about a little later in the program. But yeah, it did start to feel like that, or maybe not start to, because at the start of the season, especially with the way that this team began, that was immediately the thought that popped in my head, which is, it's kind of wild that you've pried open a championship caliber window for so long. That is not something in sports that sports is built to do, even in a sport that does not have a hard cap and the way that they handle it. And so there's ebbs and flows, and when is it going to be that ebb? And it feels like, okay, you might be coming up on the ebb, so you need to make the most of it. And unfortunately, you didn't get close to making the most of it because you were unceremoniously bounced from the postseason without a single victory in the postseason.
I was basically happy with this season because of how it started. But here come the texts. End of an era. One said, I don't think it's over. It's a much needed reset. Well, depending on how that reset goes, this last era, this amazing era could be, the last call for that. But both of those things. And somebody said Joe Espada is on the list. He absolutely is on the list.
I thought I had mentioned Espada at a point. And one of the things that I said, and I kind of want to bounce this off of you because I've been talking about it with a few friends as we, broke down all the game as it was happening, in fact, is that it, again, kind of felt like he was managing a regular season game. Mm-hmm. And you hope that at least now there's a little bit more experience in that, you know, next time, assuming that there is a next time relatively soon, that he has a little bit better perspective on it. But no, there's definitely plenty of blame to be laid at the feet of Joe Espada, particularly in this postseason, in this wild card, without even getting to the larger criticism that there are of him.
And one last thing, you know, it didn't hurt the most. It's a question. Was there any part of you that was happy for AJ Hinch? Figgy?
Hell no.
No?
No, I wasn't happy for him, man.
How come?
Why would I be happy for him?
I mean, because he got unceremoniously... he was the only guy that actually, during 2017, he took a bat to a laptop because he didn't want them doing that.
I get that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that, but... I mean, he had to take that responsibility, though.
No,
man.
He took the responsibility. He was the
manager. Yeah. So, like... I mean,
it's Figgy's hot. Hell no.
I'm not happy for him. I wanted to beat him.
Yeah. Well, of course I wanted to beat him. Yeah.
Look, I ain't sitting there. I could be rooting for him now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not rooting for anybody else. Hopefully he can get one. But, nah, I wouldn't happy for him. I wanted him to get swept.
I love this.
Yeah, like, I don't know that I don't like hate him necessarily in any way, but like, yeah, it wasn't like an overwhelming experience in a positive where it was like, oh, well, good, like, awesome. And I'm just like, nah, man, whatever, man. This is
Texter, I was a bit happy for Hinch. It's weird because I can't quite figure out if I am or not, because I wanted, obviously, the Astros to win.
There are people that are saying they were a bit happy for AJ.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, screw that.
Figgy's hot.
I've learned that Figgy got a decent amount of petty within him. There's a solid amount of petty within Figgy. Do not cross him. Do not even give the perception that you have crossed him.
Why would I be a little happy for him?
Because he just did it to us. Yeah, you know, that's the issue there. Unfortunately, the Astros season has come to an end after losing to the Detroit Tigers 5-2. Man, when they went up 2-1, man.
Oh yeah.
It just felt like, man, you're in a great place.
Here we go.
They just didn't capitalize on many instances of having runners in scoring position, or a couple of instances. Yeah. Well, we move,
it's
right?
It's damn shame what they did to that dog.
It really is. Ultimately, we move. We'll circle back around at one and talk about what they look like going forward, possibly, especially because the Bregman conversation is huge. Mm-hmm. It looms large over these Houston Astros. But you're just getting going here on a Thursday, rather, in the Loop Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, Cal McNair said at a community event that he expects the Texans to get better. So with all the things that we're talking about, where's the most likely place for improvement with this Texans team? 713-572-4610. Let's discuss that next.